How many of you know what the feast day is today? Good. I hope you didn't have to look at the front of your bulletin for that one. Trinity Sunday. When I was in seminary, that was like the Sunday that if you were going to preach, if your supervisor was going to ask you to preach, that is the Sunday, Trinity Sunday, because it seems a little difficult. But maybe we'll see it in a different way today. I wanted to share with you some of the analogies that we've probably heard before about the Trinity, you know, the water and the solid, liquid and gas, but it's all water, or the clover leaf, or the egg. Has anyone heard of the egg analogy? So there's a shell, and inside the shell is the egg white, and the yolk, and all of that together makes up the egg. Those are all a little bit heretical, and we won't talk about why, but they're analogies, and they help us in some way. But if you're going to talk theology, there's a little bit of stuff in there that we want to think about. There are also images that we see in a lot of things. Sometimes you'll see something like that on the front of the bulletin, these arches that kind of interweave into each other. There's not a beginning or an end. It's all one. There's another image. Has anyone seen this image? The triangle and the circle, and explains that the God, the Father, Spirit, and Son are different pieces, ends of the triangle, and yet they're not each other, but together they are God. That's an interesting concept too. Richard Rohr is a Franciscan priest who wrote a book called The Divine Dance. I have not read the book, but it comes highly acclaimed. And if you have extra time for summer reading, try reading Richard Rohr's Divine Dance. He talks a little bit, and this is a very surfacey explanation, but he talks a little bit about the persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, being a life pattern of giving and receiving, this dance in a circle where they are connected and in movement together in a dance. And the dance is God. God is the dance. Something to think about as well. And I found actually a new analogy that's very contemporary. Kind of cool. I discovered it when I was in Chicago because my son, who's now a father, is very much a child. He likes to play with toys and tinker with little things. So there's stuff all over his house. I sat there on the chair, and there's one of these. Have you seen these? I did not know what it was. Yeah, it's called a fidget something. What is it? Fidget spinner, thank you. And you see that, like it just keeps spinning, and it looks, you can almost see the interweaving circles, but it's all one thing. And each thing is the same, they're sort of equal, but they can move together, creating something that is whole, a fidget spinner. So what's nice about all of this Trinity Sunday thing is that we really don't have to figure it out. It is a mystery, and we can just let it be a mystery. We don't have to know exactly how it happens. In fact, I would suggest that we know the Trinity in how we experience God. That the Trinity for us is an experience. The Trinity is like the fullness of God in our lives. We experience the Trinity in different ways. Sometimes it's in crisis. When you get a phone call that says, drop everything you're doing and go to this person because there is a crisis. God is there. Whether you feel it's Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, God is in that crisis. We experience the Trinity in creation. We heard that beautiful telling of the creation story today. That was lovely. And it's a long thing, but we know from creation that God made us in God's image, all of us, and we see God in each other. That's experiencing God. I had an experience with God on a plane yesterday. I was sitting with a couple, they were a little bit older, from Hawaii, and really nice and didn't talk a lot, which really makes me happy because I don't like to talk a lot on a plane. And they were eating their lunch, and then as we get into about the second hour of this flight, he pulls out his phone and starts finding music. And the music is, the music are hymns. He's playing different hymns, and they're like from more like a Baptist hymnal, I'm going to guess. I was familiar with them, but the hymns were played on a harmonica. That's not my kind of music so much, hymns on a harmonica. And they were playing it very loudly because they didn't have headphones. So I was a little distracted and getting a little annoyed. And I just thought for a second, you know, I'm kind of like, okay, where is God in this? Because I know they're playing hymns. I know they're listening to hymns. So why am I getting so frustrated? So I don't like the music. But I know those words, and they are feeding them. He's passing the phone back and forth and to his wife, and they're listening, and they are happy, and they are experiencing God. And I'm experiencing God through them. So it's God, it's the Trinity in experience. Now, prayer is another way that we can experience God, or we can become aware of how we can see God in different ways or reach out to God in different ways. And I want to try a little bit of an experiment, or an exercise, I guess. And this is one, I'll tell you what it's going to be first, and then you can close your eyes, because it involves closing eyes. So when you close your eyes, I'm going to give you a different scenario or circumstance. And I'll give you a second just to think about, if you are going to pray in that situation, who will you be praying to? Who will you be reaching out to? Father, Son, or Holy Spirit? And you can't technically, well, no, you can technically pray to God, but I don't want you to think of God in your prayer. I want you to think of one of those essences, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. And when you hear, I'm going to say, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I want you to just raise your hand. Nobody's going to see. Just think about it and then raise your hand at which one kind of resonates with you in that moment and how you might call out to God. So close your eyes. Or I invite you to close your eyes. You've just found out that you lost your job. Are you praying to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit? You've just found out that your dear, dear friend has been diagnosed with terminal illness. Are you reaching out to the Father? And to the Son, to the Spirit. You've just found out that your high school or your senior in high school just got accepted to the very college of their choice. Are you praying to the Father, to the Son, or to the Holy Spirit? Okay, you can open your eyes. Thank you for that. So what I saw was that in those different scenarios, everybody raised their hand for something different. So if you just lost your job, I saw people raise their hand for Father, for Son, and for Holy Spirit. This is, I think, a way to understand how God is accessible to us. God reaches out to us in different ways, and we call out to God in different ways. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a gift for us to be able to be with God in whatever way is necessary or whatever way is going to feed us in that moment. There's just not one way to be with God or that God is with us. God gives us different ways. In Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, nice and short and sweet, Jesus tells the disciples to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was not talking about the Trinity per se, because that doctrine just wasn't there yet. But he was very clear, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then he said, I will be with you always to the end of the age. So I wonder if that always until the end of the age, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, was a way for Matthew to understand the Trinity and the Trinity's presence in our lives. You see, God wants to be in relationship with us. God loves us that much that God will be with us in some way, shape, or form at every time that we reach out, in every circumstance, in the possibility of whatever you can imagine. God is there always till the ends of the age. So imagine for a minute what it's like. Think about what it's like if God is here right now. If maybe Jesus is sitting next to you, or God, as you feel the Spirit present, and God is at work, what does that mean for how you live your life, or how you behave, or how you act in the world? What does that mean if you are, what does that mean if you are relating to a person? You're talking to another person, or talking about another person. What does that mean for you if God is present right now? Hopefully that makes a difference in what you do, how you act, what you say, because it is the truth. God is here in the present and always. So I think that Matthew's, that phrase kind of captures or sums up the whole Trinity. God is with you always. Excuse me. And that's a good thing. Whatever your circumstance, whatever the situation, whatever the challenge, whatever the joy, God loves us so much that God will be there. God is there. God was there in creation, making us human to be with us. God was there when in the incarnation, when Jesus was made man, Jesus was born to be with us. And God is present in the ascension. Every way you can imagine, God is with us always to the end of the age. And for that we say, thanks be to God.